Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. Happy winter solstice. Welcome, winter. I am so excited to be here today. And actually, today is the 2-year anniversary of Goddess Alive Radio. So it's just kind of amazing that we were able to slot in Sandy Everim today. Yay! And spend it talking about magnificently wondrous abundance, living abundance, 100-day promise, Sandy Everim, and all of it on winter solstice, Yule, and our 2-year anniversary. It's just so exciting. I'm really delighted to be here. My name is Kimberly Moore. I'm the founder and the priestess of Mother House of the Goddess. And this will be our last show, even though it's our 2-year anniversary, right? It'll be our last show for 2015. And I just got done updating today all of the archives for 2015. I peeked in a little bit on the 2014 archives. So we actually have 2 pages of archives that you can go through and listen. And we're getting ready to book into 2016. We're actually partially booked almost, I think, to mid-February. So lots of good stuff coming for the new year. And as we have kind of gone from the womb of the goddess last night and moving into the light today, pretty soon the sun will start making its trek up in the sky and the light will have returned. You know, this is a great time to really reflect, contemplate, think about, what are you leaving behind in 2016? What does not need to come forward? Or I'm sorry, yeah, what are you leaving behind in 2016? What is staying in 2015? And what are your goals, your intentions for 2015? One of the cool things about Sandy is she is also a desire map facilitator, licensed facilitator and trainer. And her trainings were amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit, too, about Daniela Port's desire map, because I simply love the framework of that. How do you want to feel? And that's how I work with groups and on my own vision boards and everything. So, you know, we've got a lot of really good questions that we're going to talk about today, and I'm really delighted to have Sandy with us. So Sandy is a master coach and the author of the 100-Day Promise and the creator of the 100-Day Promise online courses. And all of them have a different theme. So beginning January 1st, the theme is living abundance. Now, who does not want that? We all do, don't we? So it begins January 1st. You can find more at sandiemorim.com, sandiemorim.com. Of course, on Mother House and on here on Blog Talk Radio, oh, everything is all linked up. You can go right to it and read more about the 100-Day Promise and Sandy. So without further ado, let's just get her on so we can start digging deep. Sandy, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, and welcome. It's so wonderful to have you.
I'm super excited to be here. I was just, while you were talking, I was looking at some of the, you know, things that you've talked about on the show, and I'm just like, I need to go and look at all or listen to all the archives.
I hope so. we've been really, really blessed. It's been a really great ride. 2 years. I can't believe that was our first show was 2 years ago on winter solstice, and I literally woke up 3 mornings before winter solstice with Goddess Alive Radio, the name in my head. I saw the logo. I mean, it was just like, it was like God was saying, get out of bed, get it set up. Come on now, we're running late. And it worked. And it just has taken off. So, and we continue to have amazing, amazing women like yourself with us. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So let's dig in. Give us a little bit of background, Sandy. Like, how did you come? I mean, you know, the word coach is kind of bandied around online quite a bit nowadays. So talk to us about your background and what is a master coach?
So now we're going into history, the past, because I've been a coach since almost the beginning of the coaching profession, almost 20 years. And, you know, back then when I started and I would tell people that I was a coach, I would often get comments like, oh, really? What sports do you coach? And, you know, what kind of team? And, you know, and which made me laugh all the time because it's so not my world. But that's what it was like back then. And so now, yeah, there are a lot more coaches. Coaching has become very commonplace. And, you know, the amazing thing to me is that 20 years in, I still love it as much as when I began. And for me, it has been not just a profession, but a way of living. You know, whenever I take a training or learn something new, the first thing I do is implement it. Like, I take it to my own life because that's how I can see what's going to help my clients, right? Because, you know, I'm human just like everybody else. And so the stuff that comes up for me as I'm going through it is generally helpful for me to share with people when I'm training or coaching.
I love that. It's so important to be able to apply it to our lives, you know, before attempting to teach it. And I think that is, you know, something that I've seen recently. It's kind of like the online phenomenon of coaching. And, you know, is that people kind of go, oh, yeah, that's a great program, but they haven't worked it yet in their own lives.
And that's one of the things. That's one of the things that led me to, you know, writing the book and creating the 100-day program, because I think the online world is so much about the quick fix, you know, the 21-day challenge, the 30-day turn your life around. There's so many versions of it. And really, after talking to hundreds of people in my research, like, it's actually really rare that people produce those kind of results in such a short period of time. And I wanted to somehow impact that.
Phenomenal. That is so great. So the 100-day promise, tell us about the book and then turning it into a course.
Well, actually, it was the other way around. So I created the course almost 2 years ago. And you know, was really happy with how it was going. And every time I ran the course, I learned a whole lot more and I deepened my own research. And then at some point, I realized that I really wanted to take everything that I'd learned and share it with more people. And so, you know, I found a publisher and I really dove into turning it into a book. And that was a whole amazing adventure. When I tell people how the book came to be, it's almost hard to believe.
I have to tell you, I watched on Facebook and social media, Instagram, kind of your journey with it, which I really love. I mean, I love social media. I've owned a social media company since 2009. Mm-hmm. That's my bread and butter. Of course, I love it. But watching somebody like yourself kind of lay out this process and the reflection, and you included your audience, but you went away to write the book or to finish it. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I know about myself is that I do really well with structure and with a deadline. You know, which is kind of funny because one of my core values and even a core desired feeling is freedom. And yet here I am saying that I like structure and I like deadlines. So, you know, it's a contradiction. And yet I really know that that works for me. So when I signed up with my publisher, one of the options that she had for working with her was to attend a 3-day retreat. And her promise was that you would write a book in 3 days, which when I first heard it, I thought that was crazy. like, seriously, that's crazy. because I've spent a long time trying to write my book and not getting very far, you know. And so, but I thought, I really, you know, I really resonated with her. I had followed her for some time. I saw lots of people becoming best-selling authors by working with her. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I booked a three-day retreat with her in Bath in the United Kingdom. And I booked my flight, and I ended up writing my book in just over 3 days in this beautiful, historic country estate about an hour and a half outside of London. And, yeah, that's where I wrote the book. And, sure, there was editing that had to happen, you know, in the weeks after that weekend. But, really, the bulk of the book was written in 3 days.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, seriously amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, I would love to share my publisher's name, because I really, you know, support what she's doing, and I, you know, wouldn't have gotten here without her. So her name is Angela Loria, and her publishing company is called The Difference Press, and I'm happy to share those links with you so that you can share them with your audience.
Absolutely. And say the name of her publishing company again, because we got a little crackle.
Oh, sure. It's The Difference Press.
Nice. The Difference Press.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Hmm.
Well, it's really amazing. Publishing nowadays, the way it has modernized is just phenomenal. And for, you know, I think entrepreneurs and solo entrepreneurs and people who want to write a book without having to go through enormous publishing houses and all that, you know, what a cool process this is.
Yeah, and you know, I was there with two other authors, and so one of the things that makes it possible is that, you know, yeah, it's a short period of time, but it's very focused time. It's uninterrupted. You are free from distractions. You know, I kept Facebook checking to a minimal. I couldn't give it up completely. And really, you know, so, you know, 8 to 10 hours every day, you can actually get a lot done in that time when you don't have any interruptions or distractions.
Well, that's a really good point. Yeah. I mean,
right.
You think about that.
It's not like when you're at home and, you know, the dog needs to go for a walk and the phone is ringing and then your spouse comes home or your kids and your clients are calling. It was, you know, all of that is eliminated so that you can actually do the work.
Fantastic. So How did you feel afterwards?
I had, I still remember the moment. So as I hit send on the email with the entire document to her, even though she was in the other room, I had to send her the whole thing by email, and it was so cool. And I remember I just sat there kind of stunned, like, how did I pull this off?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and, you know, I can think back maybe to two or three other times in my life where I had this thought, if I could do that, I could do anything.
Right. That is amazing. So How have you rolled out the 100-day promise then and now married it with, you know, the book with the courses?
So with the book, so I give you, you know, for $2.99 if you buy the book on Amazon, I give you everything that I do in the program. The big difference is that in the program, you get the date, you get the support of the community. We have a Facebook group. So everyone is going through the work together. There's lots of sharing, lots of support. I'm in the Facebook group every single day coaching and helping people. So, you know, it really depends. If you know that you like doing things on your own and you don't like support or you don't want support, then yeah, the book is a great deal because you get everything laid out step by step. But what I found, though, is that more people thrive when they have the right kind of support. And that's why, you know, I tell people every time I start a new program, I actually tell them, you know, I go through the program right along with them. I'm doing the exercise with them. I'm posting in the group with them. And I do that for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it gives me the experience of what it's like to actually do the work. And I create my own promise. So every time is new for me because I have something new that I'm focusing on. So I get to go through it again and see where I get stopped and where I have fear. And that helps me be a better coach for them in the program. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. I do the same thing with some of my online courses. You can't, you know, when you're in there coaching, it's different than a self-study where you're kind of moderating. But when you're in there with them every day, you can't help but go through it. And I love that you do that because it makes you really accessible. So I wanted to insert here, too, for our listeners. And I do see a couple of people have tuned in live on the phone. I can only see the phone people. So, no, thank you. We changed the time up. So I want to let everyone know, and for those listening to the archive, and you'll see it on social media, but Sandy has generously offered one of the spots in the Living Abundance 100-Day Promise that begins January 1st. So if you go to motherhouseofthegoddess.com, it's right there at the top on the blog, and it's a little raffle copter widget. Just, you know, follow it for the entries, and we'll be picking a winner on the 30th to begin on the 1st. What a great new year. Sandy, thank you so much for doing that because it's so exciting. You know, you said something really interesting as we were chatting before we started, and that the 100-day promise is the antidote to New Year's resolution. Tell me about that.
so much I could say about that. So really, you know, like I said earlier, the whole idea that we've been sold, that it, you know, it takes 21 days to change a habit. Yes, that's true in some instances, but more often than not, it takes an average of 66 days. So studies show that, you know, it takes anywhere from 18 to 254 days to actually create sustainable, lasting change. So, you know, unless your habit or unless the change you want to make in your life is pretty simple, I'll use drinking water because that's one that, I don't know, it seems like everybody wants to drink more water. But it's like if that's your promise, yeah, chances are you can totally take that on in 21 days or less. But if you are working on a change, you know, that really is about changing your view of life, or letting go of limiting beliefs, or maybe you want to change a negative habit and let go of it, things like that, I can practically guarantee that it is going to take a lot longer than 21 days because your subconscious programming, so all the limiting beliefs, all of the fear and resistance that comes up is going to come up and stop you. Chances are you won't even make it to 21 days, never mind the success of 100 days. So it's not useful to focus on 21 days. It's also not useful to focus on New Year's resolutions, which is a similar idea that, you know, you're going to use the momentum of January to change your life and have a great year. Well, that's good in theory, but just as I explained, you know, and I think there are even studies about this too, although I can't cite one right now, but you know, usually by the third week of January, people have fallen off their diet. They've, you know, they're not going to the gym that they signed up for. They've given up on, you know, what they said they wanted because it's too hard. I can't do it. I you know, it's too hard to do it on my own. You know, fill in the blank with whatever your reason is. And there's nothing wrong with you that happens that way. That's actually common. The problem is that we feel like shit when we do that, and then we beat ourselves up, and so it makes any other change even harder because now we have proof that we can't do it. And that just makes me sad.
Yeah, it's like the negative reinforcement instead of the positive reinforcement. Yes, exactly. And I think it's like, I just recently was looking at something about New Year's resolutions for a client for their blog, and I think it's like 60% by the end of January, you know, the resolutions have just completely, I mean, they're just in the toilet, you know. And like you said, everyone's feeling then bad about what they thought they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what it does is it creates a vicious cycle. And so then the next time you want to change, right, so maybe it's next January, then, you know, the same thing happens. You get all excited. You get, you know, there are all kinds of specials going on. Join this. Do that. You make the commitment. You think, this is the year I'm going to do it. And then, because the structure and the support isn't long enough or isn't in depth enough, it doesn't address that, you know, the old limiting beliefs, the same thing happens. And then you have even more proof that you can't do it the way you want to, which, again, is so disheartening that people kind of give up on ever thinking then that they could make the change that they want.
So true. So with the 100-day promise, living abundance, give us some sneak peeks into what will be going on through April.
Sure. Oh, my God. So the last couple of times I ran the program, I did something kind of fun. I asked the current program at the time, I said, you know, what would you like to focus on in the next 100 days? And so, you know, the last time I ran it, our focus was self-love. And so we spent 100 days focused on self-love. At the end of that program, which I think was the end of October, I asked them, I said, you know, if I run one in January, what would you like the topic to be? And I don't know, majority said something to do with abundance, money, prosperity, you know, along those lines. And so I thought, okay, that would be a great focus to start the year. So I started looking and, you know, I started doing my research and I thought, I want to look at abundance, like true abundance. Yes, I want to include money in that, but I want to look at, like, what's the real meaning of abundance? And so I always look at the meaning of words. And abundance, you know, the original meaning was fullness or plenty. And I love that. You know, so imagine, like, you know, 100 days focused on feeling full, like you have everything you need or that you have plenty of, you know, whatever it is that you want, money, love, freedom, resources, energy, whatever. It doesn't matter what you want more of, but that we're going to spend 100 days focused on creating a deeper experience of abundance, right? So the first month of the program is really about the darker side, right? What's in the way? What's stopping you from feeling abundant, from experiencing abundance? We look at the limiting beliefs. We look at the stories you tell yourself. Once we clear that, because I really believe that we have to clear that in order to make way for what we want, then we start looking at, okay, you know, in month two, we start looking at, okay, what are my values around abundance? How do I want to feel about abundance? And we start creating so that by that time, create is actually more, I don't know what's the right word, more true, more real for you than just saying, you know, I want to make six figures in 2016, or I want to have, you know, $20,000 in my bank account, or something like that. it's actually deeper and more authentic for you.
I love that. I love that. And I know that you've been gathering some items around the gorgeous goddess Lakshmi, the Hindu goddess Lakshmi, to implement with living abundance. So talk to us about your forays into Lakshmi and bringing her in for this.
Well, I it's funny. I was sharing this with someone the other day because they asked me the meaning of the tattoo I have on my wrist. And it's a Sanskrit symbol for the word deva, which has a few meanings, but the one that I was drawn to was one who plays in the light. And so, you know, I don't know why, but ever since I started my business all those years ago, my business is called Deva Coaching, and I have been drawn to Sanskrit. Again, I don't know why. I just always am drawn to things related to Sanskrit. And so I started doing some reading about, different gods and goddesses. I really have a lot of reminders and structure in my office and in my home of Ganesh, who I love. And then a few months ago, I started thinking about Lakshmi and what was she really all about. And so a couple things. I ordered something from you. I got the mala and the wrist bracelet, the cuff with the Lakshmi mantra. And I actually set up in my living room an altar to the goddess Lakshmi. And so every time I would do some research into this next 100-day promise on abundance, I would go sit in that corner so that I was, you know, I was near her and I would kind of look at her and, you know, I would say, you know, something like, all right, I'm going to need your help here. Tell me how to make this. Show me how to make this really powerful because I want this to be amazing. And I just felt like I was being guided. So she's there kind of in the background as I'm creating the work of the next 100 days, which to me, it feels really satisfying. It feels really true. Like it's not
right.
I don't know if that makes sense. But there's like a depth and a truth to it that feels very powerful.
Well, you know what is so cool about Lakshmi, and you know, people relate her with money, you know, very very often. And actually, she's so more nuanced than money. And the absolute core of Lakshmi that I love. And this is in the Rig Vedas as they're telling the story. And Vishnu, her consort, says, you know, as she melts into his heart, you know, I mean, literally is melting into his heart chakra. And he said, there is none that can resist Lakshmi, no God, no human, because she comes from the heart and all of the work is done in the heart. So, you know, if we're coming at abundance, and we're coming at Lakshmi through our heart, how much more perfect could it be? I mean, you know, there's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So simple.
Yeah. And, you know, the other reason I think that I'm drawn to her, well, and, you know, and to Ganesh, they seem to be my two my two guides, is that...
Love it.
Yeah, and I like talismans. So I have, you know, I have the bracelet, I have the mala, I have the tattoo, I have things around me because part of what's different and I think a bit unique about the 100-day promise is that each time I really help people to create not just the practice that you're going to do for 100 days, but how to have your practice, how to bring meaning to your practice. Right, so it's about creating a ritual with your practice that then, in turn, makes you want to keep doing it. And so it's a very energetic thing, so that it's not just about doing the same thing for 100 days, which, you know, can be boring as hell. But really, right, it's like bringing the energy and the meaning to your practice so that it helps you keep going. And that's what I've done for myself, you know, in the 2 years since I started the program. You know, the practices, and I talk a lot about this in the program, I'm not going to tell you what practices to do for yourself. I'm going to help you create your own practice because there's no one size fits all. So it's not go meditate for 20 minutes, then do your gratitude journal, and then, you know, do something else. It's really like, okay, here are some things that I use and love. Here are some suggestions. Now, how can you make this your own? How is it going to work in your life? Because if it doesn't work in your life, there's no point in doing it.
So true. So true. And that's amazing. You know, it's, again, another amazingly simple tenet. But, you know, it's really funny through Mother House because, you know, we talk a lot about meditation in our mystery school courses and everything, right? And mm-hmm. So I get a lot of people that say to me, well, I can't meditate. You know, I can't sit there and just be quiet, you know, for whatever amount of time. And I start laughing. I go, yeah, me either. And then everybody looks at me. And they're like, well, you've been a priestess for 20 years. You don't meditate. And I go, oh, I meditate all the time. But mm-hmm. I don't. Are you kidding me? For me to sit and be like quiet? I mean, it would take me days to shut up the second brain. I mean, you know, like forget it. Mm-hmm. What I found is active meditation works for me. I chant mantras. I clean my altars. There's something active going on so that my brain can rest and meditate mm-hmm. and be calm. And I use focus. And it's really funny because, you know, I say to people, you can meditate on anything. Walking in the woods is a meditation. Like, get it out of your head. You're not a yogi. You're not in a cave. You don't have to chant 18 hours a day, right? Just find mm-hmm. what makes you peaceful. So I love that you're mm-hmm. doing that because mm-hmm. it's so much better than saying, you know, you have to meditate 15 minutes a day. I mean, that'll make people's heads come off. Like, I can't do it. You know?
Yeah. No, and, you know, I can't even do it every day. Like, and, I, you know, I'm an on-again, off-again meditator. But you know what? The big difference is that now I have no judgment around that. I just am an on-again, yep. off-again meditator. And that's the end of that. Yeah. But what I do every single day, like without fail, because it has become my go-to after, you know, 2 years of working it into my life, is that, you know, so I, and this is, again, something I go through in the program, but one of the things that works is to take a practice that you want to do and anchor it to something you already do. Right, so that you're lessening the resistance to doing it. So one of the things I have to do every day, 2, 3, 4 times a day, is walk my dog. I have to.
Yeah.
So especially the first one in the morning, because I am a morning person and I like to set the tone for the whole day. So I really take my time. I get ready. I take her out. I don't take my phone with me, which is highly unusual. Because I am very connected on social media, but I leave it at home and I walk my dog and I go down to the river near where we live. And, you know, I'm usually out pretty early in the morning. And so there's not that many people around. And while I'm walking the dog, I take deep breaths and I chant. So, for example, for the last month, as I've been preparing for Living Abundance, I've been chanting the Lakshmi mantra. Before that, I was chanting something else. And, you know, then people walk by and I whisper it to myself and then they pass and I start chanting again. And I do that every single day. Why? Because it feels like I get home and I am so ready to get to work.
That's so awesome, Sandy.
Yeah.
Chanting is my everyday thing too, without fail. Every single day I chant,
mm-hmm.
every day, and I love it. And you know, when I hit a moment in my day where I can, you know, maybe it's, oh, the black clouds are gathering, I want to say mean words. You know, you hit that point, you're like, hey, I'm over it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just, I chant for 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it shifts me 100%. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Well, and it's so funny, you know, because I've done a lot of reading about chanting and mantras, and, you know, the suggested you have to chant for 108 repetitions. And, you know, if I'm sitting in my living room and near my altar and I have my mala, sure, I'm going to do that. But I was finding it felt really hard to keep track of it when I'm walking. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to, for one direction, I'm going to chant this, you know. So I actually, if I go for a half hour walk, one way I chant to Ganesh, and on the way home I chant to Lakshmi. And,
yay!
You know, I don't worry about, was it 105, was it 97, was it, you know, I just chant because it feels good, and I'm thinking they don't care if it's 105 or 108. And so, because why that's important is because, again, those external limitations, like you should meditate for an hour.
Mm.
I don't know that many people who are going to sit for an hour. And so if we let those external recommendations become a rule, I think we stop ourselves before we even begin.
I so agree with you. Really, because your practices should have joy in them. I mean, they should
mm-hmm.
make you feel joyful. And I agree with you. I don't hardly ever count. I mean, unless I'm, you know, like for me, it's I'm done when I'm done. And if it's 5 minutes, cool. If it's 55 minutes, cool. You know, I don't count really either, and I just hold my malas and I play with them while I'm chanting, and I dance around while I'm chanting, you know. So you have to make it your own, because you're so right, that is how we cement those practices in, and then they do become habits. And
mm-hmm.
and the cool thing about chanting is that, you know, what I have found is that because it's a practice and now a habit, if I get into a stressful situation, it kicks in. My brain just starts chanting. It just kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about it. It isn't even a conscious thing. And that's a beautiful example of practice. You know, this is why we practice. You know, Danielle Laporte, she did that great article about this is why we practice, you know. And
mm-hmm.
this is it. We hit the stress point. This is why we practice, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. So good. Well, Ganeshi is one of my favorites too, Sandy. I adore him. Adore him. And I was absolutely delighted when I did my goddesses for the year. I have a goddess box with 400 goddesses in it. But there's one Ganeshi card. It's so funny. And he's my deity for the year. He and Gaia are my overall deities for the year. And I was
wow.
delighted. Yeah, so fun.
How did he sneak into the goddess house?
Well, you know, I have a few boys around, you know. You know, Ganeshi's here, Shiva's here, Krishna's here, the Orishas are all here. So I have a few boys. But Ganeshi has been my favorite for, oh God, more than 20 years at least. And
mm-hmm.
And that's, he's, I began my mantra practice with his mantra when I was in a really difficult time in my life. And that's when I'd always kind of played with it. I was, I was very attracted to Sanskrit, and I did it off and on. But, you know, about 8 years ago, I really cemented that practice in as an everyday thing, and it was through him. And and I don't know, I love him.
I get it. Me too.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's kind of fascinating that here we are, you know, North American women, totally fascinated by Sanskrit and gods and goddesses.
Yes, it is. It is always amazing to me. I'll share with you just very quickly. So, you know, I primarily work with the Greek deities, the Hindus, and the Orishas, you know, from Africa. And I have very long-standing devotional relationship to those pantheons. And, but my, you know, I mean, I'm 5'2", blonde hair, green eyes, German, English, you know, Irish. And when I moved to London, I thought, how cool, maybe the Celtic, I'll connect with some of the Celtic goddesses. So, you know, I lived in Northwest London, very close to a place called Hampstead Heath, which has these great ancient bogs, and that's where I would walk and chant and everything. And so I go running out there, and I'm like on the ancient bog, and I'm like, hello, I'm here. And it was like cricket, you know, it's like crickets. I'm going, like, nobody? I mean, this is like the land of my blood ancestors. Hello? You know? But it is. It's all past life. I really believe that. It's all very much past life. You know, we, who knows, Sandy? We were probably yogis chanting together in a cave somewhere hundreds of years ago because...
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you a little, just a quick little memory that I have. So a few years ago, a friend of mine was getting married, and it was a traditional Indian wedding.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and so I decided to borrow a sari and dress up. And so the friend that I borrowed the sari from came to my home and helped me, you know, because I had no idea how to wrap it, and you know, I had my makeup on, and then she put the sari on me, and then she turned me around, and I stood in front of the mirror, and in, you know, it was really the first time I'd ever worn a sari, but as I looked in the mirror, I had the feeling that it was not the first time. Like, I had this, like, shiver of knowing that I had worn a sari before, and, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know that much about past lives and all that stuff, but I just had this knowing, and it stayed with me ever since. And so, yeah, there's something there for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's so beautiful. I mean, you know, when you find something that resonates, again, that's what helps you make it a habit. So why not do it? That is so very, very cool. I love it. Well, kiss your Ganeshis for me and your Lakshmi.
I will. Awesome.
That it is so cool. So living abundance. Well, both of them, I mean, Ganesh and Lakshmi certainly bring those values and everything. Let's talk about you and Desire Map, which... By the way, your recent Desire Map trainings were marvelous. I listened to the replays in most cases, but you're an amazing teacher, Sandy. You really are.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah. How did you – now, I've been a Danielle Laporte fan for a long time since Style Statement and Firestarter Sessions. I did the facilitator license as soon as it came out. I was like, yeah, man, you know. I love her work.
Mm-hmm.
How were you drawn to Desire Map? And you've been busy with it, really busy this past year.
Well, very similarly. You know, I remember the first time I met her was right after Style Statement came out. And, you know, and then I started following her. I loved Firestarter Sessions. I led a book club on that for a year. You know, then I led the Desire Map book clubs. And, I mean, the big difference between, you know, in my experience is that, you know, Danielle and I live in the same city. We both live in Vancouver. And so we knew some of the same people. We had friends in common. And when she contacted me about a year and a half ago with this idea that she was going to turned the desire map into a workshop, I was really excited because I had already been using it one-on-one with clients as a coach. And so for me, it was like, it totally made sense. It was like the next step. And so I actually got to work with her and her team at the beginning in looking at how to, you know, because it's one thing, how do you turn a book into a workshop and a process? And so, yeah, I feel really fortunate and really blessed that I was part of that from the beginning. And then that led to an invitation to be a beta coach, which, you know, there were a handful of coaches around the world that were invited to be the first ones to lead the program, to test it in different formats, and that was extraordinary. So it really has been a year of, you know, leading the program exactly as it was designed and also weaving it into my own work. So, for example, there's a module in the 100-Day Promise that is about your core desired feelings. It just has become so much a part of the way that I live and work. It's the water I swim in. And
yeah,
it really is, you know, as you know, I mean, there's so much out there in personal development that we could try. And for me, having done a lot of training over the years, it's one of the tools that has made the greatest difference. I think because it's so not about knowledge, it's about experience and it's about emotion. And I think, you know, way too many programs are focused on head knowledge and, you know, things that make no difference in real life. And that one question, how do you want to feel, is so powerful. Mm-hmm. It literally can change everything if you let it. And that's
right.
Where most of the work is in the desire map, is really clearing the path so that you can choose your core desired feelings on a daily basis. Like the 100-Day Promise, there's so many similarities for me, because it's about developing a practice of integrating your core desired feelings. How do you do that in a way that they then can guide you and help you make better choices in life? That's for me the crux of it. Yeah, and because I've done so much of the work in the last year, I also, then I was asked to mentor the licensees, which has been one of my favorite things to do this year. It's been incredible. I've gotten to meet, you know, women like you who are doing such cool things and really helping this work spread, which for me is kind of a dream come true.
It's, well, you do a beautiful job, and, you know, it's one of, I think Desire Map has really united so many of us, you know, to be in each other's spheres, just like, you know, to be able to check in and, like, you know, I love looking at your pictures in the morning. They always make me smile, you know, your Instagram where you have your truth bomb or one of your cards and your notes and your thoughts and, you know, it's uplifting, all of it, you know, and I think that is what is so powerful as I read through the 100-Day Promise, which I did get on Kindle, by the way, and I loved it, and, you know, and then looking at even what you have on your site is, it's uplifting. You know, we spend a lot of time in, you know, fear, anxiety, stress, to have something that can kind of pull us out, you know, and but also give us the tools to focus differently is very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, whether it's my coaching work or the 100-Day Promise or the Desire Map, I think for me there's a thread that runs through it all, and that is, how do you integrate it so that it actually lives and breathes in your life? Right, because again, even with coaching, you know, there's this, I think, a common misconception that the magic happens in the coaching calls. So when you're on the phone with your coach, that's when things happen. But I don't believe that. I believe that the magic happens in between the coaching sessions when you take what you got in the coaching call and bring it to your life. Because otherwise, you're going to have to have, you know, you're going to have to be coached forever. And that's not the intent. Right? That's not what it's for. It's not so that you become dependent on your coach. It's about empowering you so that you can go live your life in a way that works for you, so that you can enjoy life more and really, really have more of what you want. And that, at least that's my intention as a coach.
I agreed. And I think that's very true. I know a lot of coaches and myself, I don't necessarily use the word coach because I come at things more priestess spiritual, but which involves a lot of coaching too, you know. But you don't want the dependence. You don't want anyone dependent on you.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to create sovereignty. You know, you need to be a sovereign goddess woman. Step forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that approach, certainly. So tell us, Sandy, if someone was interested listening to this and saying, you know, I wanted to connect with a coach, what are your favorite clients? Like, who are your favorite clients? What are the things you work with personally the most?
Personally, so the quality that I am always listening for, which to me is more important than, you know, some of the demographics that that we're taught to look for. But I'm listening for, are you ready to do the work? Like, really, no kidding, you're going to show up for your calls and you're going to do the work in between the calls. Because if you just want a feel-good chat every week, that's not me. You should not work with me.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for, you know, I know, kind of blunt, but really, that because I don't want, yes, I want you to feel good in your life, but I also want you to produce the results that you want in your life. That's part of why I created the 100-Day Promise. I was tired of the vicious cycle. I was tired of hearing people spend the time, spend the money, and then still not produce the results. You know, maybe they felt a little bit better, and I'm not discounting that, but I'm a results gal. And so I'm looking for people who are ready to do the work and are willing to face their limiting beliefs, willing to, you know, take a risk and do something out of the ordinary for the purpose of living the life they really want. So I'm not asking people to, you know, do stuff just, you know, to say they did it. I'm asking people to show up and take the actions that will produce the life that you say you want. You know, I sometimes say the life that you say you want depends on it. So that sounds kind of dramatic and urgent. And it is. Because the life that you want does depend on you doing something different. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting more of the same. Now, if you're satisfied with how it is, great. But often people are not, and that's why they contact a coach or, you know, a therapist or some kind of personal development. So really, you know, and mostly I work with women, although I do have men going through my programs and hiring me. But mostly I work with women and specifically around freedom. So, you know, they're looking for a greater experience of freedom in life. So that doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily, you know, leave your marriage, leave your kids, quit your job and run away. It could, but it also is like, how can you feel free no matter what's going on in your life?
Right.
That's
powerful.
What I'm interested in. Exactly. Yeah.
Very powerful. And, you know, again, life truth. I mean, here it is. And I think that there are the coaches that, you know, will coddle cuddle you along just to make you feel good. But I agree. I think that so many women, the bluntness, Sandy, is important sometimes, you know, to just say,
yeah,
okay. You know, what's the quote? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You know?
Yes, it is. It's so insane. Stop it. And, you know, I think that's part of why the 100-Day Promise resonates with so many people is because there's another quote that I love. See if I can remember it off the top of my head. Day by day, nothing changes, but sooner or later, everything's different, right? So one of the things in the, you know, when you're going through 100 days, and I'm really, you know, I'm a truth teller. So I, you know, 100 days is a really long time. It seems a bit crazy, even to me, and I created it. It's a long time. But here's what happens. Day by day, because the actions are small and there's daily prompts in the program, day by day, you're changing some small aspect of how you show up in life. And then that turns into a week, and then 3 weeks, and then a month. By the end of it, it doesn't feel like you've changed that much because they've been small incremental changes. But when you add them all up over the 100 days, like I've had people, you know, share that their whole experience of life is different. You know, their relationship has transformed. Think like big things have happened, even though in the group, they're just showing up every day answering the prompt. And so it's kind of what I call the sneak attack, you know, because it's small things often. You're not triggering the fear and resistance of, like, let's say, you know, taking on some big dramatic resolution.
I love that it feels gentle but powerful, and that is really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
it's totally one of my favorite things in the program is that it is kind of sneaky.
Well, this is so exciting.
I admit it's sneaky.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. As long as it gets done, right? Oh, my goodness. So for our listeners, I want to give you the links again. Of course, they're on Mother House and on Blog Talk. But, you know, you want to go to sandiamorim.com, and it's SandiAmorim.com, or just Google the 100-Day Promise, because she's all over that on Google. And there it is, you know. The program Living Abundance, it begins January 1st. So you want to jump on it. We are gifting, Sandy is gifting, we are hosting the gift of one spot. So you can go to motherhouseofthegoddess.com and sign up very easily. We'll announce that winner on the 30th. So, but you know what? Either way, just do it. This is like the statement for me. It's the antidote to New Year's resolutions. You know, that is amazing. And, you know, don't make a resolution, make a promise, and then you get to 100 days to solidify it with Sandy. So I love your hands-on to this. It's really wonderful. It's beautiful.
Thanks. I'm really excited about it, and I love the new focus of Living Abundance. And, I'd love for, you know, some of your listeners to join me, and especially because, you know, Lakshmi is going to play a big part of it. So come.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
I'm sure I will sneak Ganesh in there somehow, but Lakshmi is in the forefront.
Oh, good. Well, yes, you know, he would probably really like that.
Yeah. I can't help it.
I agree. I was so delighted. In my 16 years of doing my Goddess Wheel of the Year readings for others and myself, this is the first time Ganeshi has popped out. So it's kind of like I was just ear to ear. I had a grin like you can't even imagine on my face. So, you know, like, yay! And, of course, awesome. Immediately I'm like, I need to get a new Ganesh statue because 8 isn't enough, right? Yeah.
I love it. It was so awesome. I was at a party the other night, a Christmas party, and I noticed, you know, there was this little collection of brass Ganeshes in one corner of the bookshelf, and then a big stone Ganesh, and I just, you know, I had to chuckle to myself, like, okay, my friends and I are on a particular wavelength. I told her, I said, it's a good thing that stone Ganesh is heavy because I was kind of wanting to take him home with me.
Right? I know. I want one of those big, like, 4-foot ones. You know, the 3-foot, 4-foot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably be dragging him around with me around the house all day, too, if I had that. So, but he does. He sits, like, right now. He sits on my desk. He's on the bookshelf. He's on the Lakshmi altar. I mean, he's dotted around. He's on my Hindu god altar. I mean, he's dotted around the house all over. He's in my son's room, everything. So we love Ganeshi and Lakshmi. She's everywhere. I have a 6-foot Shakti in my living room, Sandy. So.
Oh, my God. I need to see a photo.
I will send you, and I'll give everybody the tip. So it's actually a blind, so she hangs, right? It's not a statue, not a 6-foot statue. Mm-hmm. But it's the multi-armed, and a friend of mine who owns a Red Tent Wellness Center here in Boca Raton, she had it in one of her treatment rooms and a couple of years ago, and I mean, I was like trying to figure out how I could sneak it out of there, you know? And she's laughing at me. She goes, go to overstock.com. Overstock.com, everybody. And they call it Kuan Yin, but it's Shakti. And let me tell you what, it was like $40. That's it. It's a blind. It's beautiful. I'll send you a picture on Facebook.
Oh my God, this has been so much fun.
It has been. It's a delight to have you. And, you know, so let me ask you a quick question. Do you plan your next 100-day promise out? Like, when would the one start after January through April? Then are you going to be doing another one in the summer?
No, I decided after the last one, I actually decided that I was going to change it and offer it only once a year in January. So
lovely.
There will be other things related to the 100-day promise throughout the year, but the 100-day online structure is once a year in January. So, you know, I really want to, I'm not kidding when I say I want it to be the antidote to New Year's resolutions.
Love it. So
yeah.
Then we'll just have to have you back on when you're ready to do your next awesome thing.
Okay.
That would be good. Yeah, so we'll make a date for that. Thank you so much, Sandy. You just made my day. You know, big grin ear to ear. Thank you, darling, so much.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I wish you a very happy Christmas and happy holidays. And, you know, again, everyone, sandyamarim.com, search the 100-Day Promise on Google, that's easy, or click the links on motherhouseofthegoddess.com. Don't forget to enter the giveaway. And you heard it from Sandy, once a year, so this is it. This is the moment of truth. Do you want to change your life? Do you want to bring fullness and plenty into your life? Antidote to the New Year's resolution. Love it. Again, so many thanks and blessings.
Thank you. I'll see you online.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. And to our listeners, thank you so very, very much. Thank you for all of your gifts of presence and blessings and showing up this past year for Goddess Alive Radio, for Mother House and Mystery School. From the very bottom of my heart, I am so, so grateful for you. I wish you all the blessings of the season, winter solstice, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa is coming on Saturday. So however you're celebrating this time of year, may it be full and may it be plentiful and may it certainly be blessed. I will see you online as well, and we will be back. Goddess Alive Radio will be back on January 7th, and we will be talking to Taya from Hathor Sistrum. So we're going to start the year off with music. I can't think of a better way to do it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Happy, happy new year. And we will be back in 2016.